Good morning, family. God bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you. God's telling me something this morning. I realise this. Interestingly, David started us off with a psalm, and then Jill shared a part of a psalm, and then Bibi in her prayer, and I thought, God's telling me something about the psalms. Well, this morning, before I came to church at home, going through the Bible reading for this morning, I always go through it a couple of times just to make sure I'm familiar, and a verse came to me from the psalm. In fact, the same psalm that David shared, Psalm 119. This is it, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Now, that wouldn't have just been spoken by the people. That would have been sung by people as a song, going up to a song of ascents, going up to Jerusalem, to the temple in Jerusalem. And I thought, well, God's telling us something about the Psalms today, isn't he? Right, our reading this morning. Okay, it's from the New Testament, and it's in 2 Timothy, and chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. And it's entitled, A Final Charge to Timothy. That's 2 Timothy 3, verse 10 to 17. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that from those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ, through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. May God bless the reading of his word to us this morning. Thank you.
Well, thank you to everybody who's been involved in the service. I wanted to thank Ryan for what he said, and also for Beast's prayer, which was very meaningful. For everybody who's been involved, so thank you, the group. Thank you, David and Kate, as well. Boy, do I ever feel a huge weight of responsibility this morning. Speaking God's word out is bad enough. Speaking about God's word is even worse. So I feel a massive responsibility. So if I seem very nervous this morning, that's because I am really nervous. Wow. So we've been looking at God speaking. God speaks. We heard that from BC. She made that point that God is a communicating God. We heard that a couple of weeks ago. God speaks through his creation. And Nick talked about that last week. Today I'm going to go talk about God speaks through the word, through his word. And I think David is next week, aren't you? Yeah. God speaks through his spirit. Now, in a sense, of course, you can't just divide them up like that, because God speaks always. So God speaks through the word. And I'm really actually going to focus upon 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 17. I wanted the whole of the bit read, because Paul is talking about his life, what he is like, his teaching, his way of life, what he suffered. And as it went through, I was wondering whether, because there's two Antiochs, and I couldn't remember which one they were referring to in 2 Timothy. But I do know he was beaten up in Lystra. So he was persecuted because he followed God's word. And I want to thank Brian as well, because what he said, if you just look, I think God might be saying something about his psalms to us. Oh, they are a joy. Whenever I get really down, and I do at times, I read the psalms, because at least they moan with me. And so, of course, last week was Psalm 19. All heaven declares the glory of the Lord. And if you look up tonight, hopefully, if it's not cloudy, you'll see the alignment of the planets. My word, that's going to be fun if we could see it. It's a shame it's so cloudy. But that psalm goes on, doesn't it? It's not only God speaking through his creation, he's speaking through his word. And I want us to say this together, okay? I want to declare it out. This is Psalm 19, 7 to 11. Okay. So the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making the wise simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord, that's a bit small, sorry. Fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm. All of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, much more than pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. We used to sing that in Latin America. There's a song. I won't sing it to you, don't worry. But this is probably actually what Paul is thinking about when he says the words, or writes the words to Timothy. This is probably the background to what he was thinking. That the word, the law, now, again, just a quick parenthesis here, law is not a bunch of rules and regulations in the Old Testament. It is called Torah. It is teaching. And the Torah is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. My favourite book, Deuteronomy. So, well, one of them. But he's talking about the teaching of the Lord. And the teaching of the Lord comes from the heart of the Lord. It comes from God's own will. What he loves, he tells us. And this is why I do bang on so much about reading God's word. When we come to the end, I'll make some suggestions, because we've all got different ways of engaging with God's word. But classically, we talk about three ways to hear the word of God. The preached word, that's John Wesley, by the way, wanted to know. The preached word of God. God speaks through the preacher. Now you understand why I feel such a huge responsibility. Because I pray, and no amount of study can do this miracle. It is the Spirit of the Lord who makes the words of me, no, makes my words, that's better, that's much easier, makes my words into the word of God. Okay, let's move on quickly. The next one is the written word. The written word of God. And that's why I liked Brian's Bible better than I like the cover of mine, because it's colourful. And I got a children's Bible. And this is the great thing, that God's word can be spoken to children. And he actually gives children as an example of how we should react to him, which is in faith and love. The written word of God and the really true word of God, that isn't Jesus, by the way, that's the guy from The Chosen, but is the living word of God. In reality, the word of God, capital T, capital W, is Jesus Christ. I'm glad you appreciate that. Thank you very much. out of the mouths of babes. So really, the preached word of God must be faithful to the written word of God, which speaks of the living word of God. And that's where we're always trying to get back to. We're trying to get back to the words of Jesus Christ. We want to hear. So anything, when we try and say, people often say, oh, you do so much study, Paul. I've been doing this for 35 years, by the way. I've been doing it for longer than some of you have been alive. A few of you have been alive. Okay. And I still find new things. So we're looking to hear what God says. It's not so I look clever, because I'm not. It's so I can hear and you can hear the voice of God. That's what we want to get back to. So in my job here is to hopefully help you hear God's word. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. I don't care whether you can learn New Testament Greek or Old Testament Hebrew or Aramaic or anything else like that. In fact, we spent the last 2 days, 48 hours, with my former pastor and his wife. They came up to visit us. And I'm exhausted. It's 48 hours of constant theological and biblical study. They both could easily teach New Testament Greek. But that is so that they can hear God's voice. That's what we want to hear. And my desire is that you hear God's word directly. As you read scripture, you will hear the voice of Jesus Christ. And as has been said, BC prayed it, we heard it a couple of times, this world desperately needs to hear God's word, needs to hear God's voice. And we pray for the city of Jerusalem, the city of peace. Not a lot of peace around there. This is what we are trying to engage with in reading God's word, in the Bible. And I admit, it's sort of big. I know it is. But it is worth doing. So Paul says to Timothy, he says, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In mission, there has never been a church that has grown that does not have the Bible in its own language. There are studies that show that. But if they do, then they hear the wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Faith comes through hearing, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10. And it makes us wise for salvation, instilling in us faith in Christ. Now, that, I'm not talking about this moment where you say, okay, Jesus, I'm inviting Jesus into my heart or wherever, whatever phrase you want to use. Your salvation must be worked out in fear and trembling, again, Apostle Paul says, because it is the Lord who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Our salvation is a constant salvation. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. That's very classic Reformed doctrine there, a bit of theology for you. We have been saved from the punishment of salvation. We are being saved from the power. Sorry, we have been saved from the punishment of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin, and eventually we will be saved from the presence of sin. in the future. And that's the salvation Paul's talking about. And that comes through knowing, I'm going to qualify the knowing bit, knowledge in the Bible is not knowing stuff. Just to give the illustration is, and Abraham knew his wife and she fell pregnant. So that's the intimacy of knowledge. That's the knowing we're talking about. So knowing, it's good to be able to know where you can get stuff in the Bible, but it's knowing the Bible intimately. It is knowing what it does. Now, what does it do? 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed. And I've got the illustration of the Spirit blowing into the text. Now, this doesn't mean it's dictated. Like Luke's going, okay, what was that word, Lord? Oh, you want me to use that one? Okay. That's an Islamic view of inspiration. God breathed it. So God spoke through the writer, and therefore Scripture says what God wants it to say. Now, I consulted our elders on this, and they gave me these wonderful two phrases, which is God spoke through the writer, and I've got a spelling mistake here. That's supposed to say epistles rather than epistles. The Gospels and the epistles were written not to us, and this is Andrew Wallerton who said this, but they were written for us. They weren't written to us, they were written for us. So Scripture is both the words of human beings and definitely the Word of God. This is the way we hear God's voice. And I was just looking through this little book. I'm going to recommend it in a minute. But they were talking and it said somewhere, it said, but isn't it boring? And I'm like, what? The Bible? No, it's exciting. Got all sorts of stuff going on. You've got wars, you've got love affairs, you've got all sorts of nasty stuff, especially in the horrible histories of Judges. It's exciting to hear God's word. I can't explain this. I can't even express it for myself, never mind for anybody else. We can hear the voice of the maker of the universe, guys. Oh my word, that is just beyond me. He who threw the stars into space, he who made the billions of galaxies, is speaking to you. Welcome to a very, very nice club to be part of. We have it here. We not only have it here, we have it in several different versions. It's incredible. This should be beyond anything that we can really appreciate. God's speaking to us. That is fabulous. We are so privileged. And what does it do? Well, these four things. It teaches us. It's not just learning the facts about stuff. It teaches to see the world through God's eyes. Now, it's a good idea to memorize scripture, and I'll say it again at the end. But it's not only knowing what that says, but looking at out there through this. Do you see what I'm saying? It's actually seeing the world through God's eyes. This is why Paul says, you know Timothy, don't you? You know what my life's like. You know my teaching. You know how I've lived. Because that's according to the scriptures. And Paul, being a good Jew, he would have known the scriptures inside out and backside first. And I'm not joking about that, by the way. They used to memorize it backwards and forwards. And they used to, oh, wow, what a great thing to have.
but also not only teaches us how to live, but it also corrects us when we go wrong. I looked up the a children's version for the all-age talk of 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. It's putting right what's gone wrong. Now, correcting. Now, you know why I've put that up, don't you? That picture. Because it's correcting your eyesight. In this sense, it's not only wrong beliefs, it's wrong attitudes and the way we see the world. And believe me, you don't want to know how I think about the world. Because sometimes I just don't like it. I don't see the world through God's eyes. I don't see... Okay. I don't see Elon Musk through God's eyes. Because I'm wrong. I've got bad vision. Because I don't see him as a human being who needs salvation and love. That's the correction of your vision. And that's what the Bible does. You start seeing the world through the eyes of God. And that is not a comforting thing to have, because you start hurting and you start weeping with him. God's got big handkerchiefs, by the way, so it's all right. You can cry with God. So rebuking, putting right what's wrong, putting our wrong attitudes and beliefs and correcting them, but also teaching in righteousness. Now, I've got to explain, in the New Testament, the word for righteousness and the word for justice are the same word. There's no difference between the words. So we often read righteousness that maybe gives us a sense of, you know, individual goodness. But the word is justice. So it's training in justice. Again, not intellectual knowledge, but so that we will do justice. Now, we are praying at the moment twice a week. Well, we pray. I hope we're praying more than that anyway. We're getting together twice a week to pray because we want to know what God wants us to do. Does anybody know what Micah 6:8 says? The Lord has told you, O human being, O person, O man, what you should do. It says, pursue, that's the word, pursue justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. So, okay, let's start with that basis as Bourne Baptist Church, and I think that will get us a long way along the line, to be honest, won't it? Pursue justice, love mercy, and walk with God. It's both instructive, therefore, and corrective. When you get closer to the light, you see things more clearly, don't you? And we often see, or when people say, oh, Lord, come close to us, I'm going, no, don't do that, please. Because it just shows up all my sin. I don't want to see that. But God is merciful, and he does it. Because he wants me to change. So, what's all this about? Quick conclusion. We learn about our salvation from Scripture. And the depths of our salvation. The depth of our sin, yes, but the wonder of the mercy of God in coming to this earth, of living among us, of showing us what it is actually to be human in Jesus, and then to die sacrificially for our sin. We did not become human beings in order to become Christians. We became Christians in order to become human beings. Because Jesus Christ is the true humanity. He is the one who shows us what it is to be human. And it is from Scripture, as we read it, as we study it, that we find out what he truly is like. George Bernard Shaw was not a Christian. But he said, He said, whatever you think about whether Jesus Christ was the Son of God or not, he was a first-class political economist. That's George Bernard Shaw. We learn about the world. We learn about how to organize ourselves as a community of love and care and of acceptance and humility. So we learn about the depths of our salvation. Scripture should teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and train us. We should constantly, when you read the Bible, you should be looking for what God is saying to me, to us, to the world. That's what we should be looking for. And believe me, you will not be disappointed. Like I said, actually, I said 35 years, didn't I? 37 years. Yes, I am old. 37 years I've been studying, and I still find new things in this book. It still shocks me. So that we will be, and that's verse 17, thoroughly, did I spell that right? Yes, I did. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are not saved by our good works. We're saved by grace. But we are saved for good works, that we may walk in them. That's Ephesians 2, verse 10. So what do we do about it? These are my little bit. Let's put them all up, just in case. Okay, read the Bible every day. You don't have to do it at the same time. You could read the Bible in 1 year if you want to. I personally don't, because I get to Numbers and I fall asleep. Well, no, that's before that. It's Leviticus 1 to 7 where I fall asleep, I've got to say. And this sacrifice is for that, and this one's for that, and yeah. So you can read the Bible in 1 year. It's a good idea, but systematically read the Bible. You don't want to do the sort of... Does anybody remember? Is anybody as old as me, who remembers the promise boxes? Yeah, thank you. It's not my favourite way of reading the Bible, because I took one little thing out and it said, and Judas went and hanged himself. I took another one out and said, I didn't like that one. It says, go and do likewise. No, we ain't having that one. Took another one out and says, what you're going to do, go and do quickly. I'm out of here, man. No, read it. I never did that. That was a lie, by the way. But yes, read the Bible systematically. Go through... There's a book called Search the Scriptures that goes through the Bible in 3 years and asks some very difficult questions. It was, you know, I did it when I was a young Christian. I think Wilma did it, didn't you? Has anybody ever done Search the Scriptures? Yeah, quite a few. It was very, very useful. But believe me, there are thousands of different ways of reading the Bible. And I would say, do memorize Scripture. One of my favorite theologians in Latin America is a guy called Rene Padilla. Well, he's with the Lord now anyway. But he said, it was on Teacher's Day, we talked about our Sunday school teachers. And I had a Sunday school teacher who taught me for 3 years on my own. Wow. I was the only person in the class. No one else would join. But he said memorizing Scripture has been one of the biggest things. Doesn't matter what version. You know, NIV is good, the nearly infallible version. We can go for a paraphrase, you can go for a literal version. But read the Bible. Andrew Ollerton's book, The Story That Makes Sense of Life. That is a very good book. Try and get, and this is very, I'm getting very practical here, try and get the overall big story of the Bible. It's not just a bunch of books shoved together. This is the story of creation to new creation. God's will that all the nations would come to him in chapter 11 of Genesis, and the tree of life, whose leaves are for the healing of the nation. It's sort of coherent, you know? Wouldn't believe it, would you? Anyway, recognize that we can be instructed and corrected by Scripture. But I had no ending to this sermon, except to jump up and down and scream and shout, read the Bible. But that's it. Get into it. It is a wonder. I've already said it's a wonder that God might speak to me and speak to us. But yeah, read it, listen to him, inwardly digest it, and make it part of your everyday Christian life. Even if it's a minute, 2 minutes, doesn't matter. You don't have to go and sit down for 2 hours. There are very few people who can do that. I can't. But just read Scripture. Read it systematically. Go through the Gospels. Good place to start, Mark. Wilma's just pointed at a watch. Isn't it great having a wife? Yes. I'm talking for too long, but this is my passion, so you'll have to... You are all priests, so you can absolve me of my sin of being long-winded. So, yeah, please read the Bible, get into it, enjoy listening to God. This book I picked up is excellent, about quiet times. Now, that's a good old word, isn't it, quiet time? It's very practical. It's from the 24/7 prayer movement. And the wonderful thing about this is, at the end of it, it's got a summary and some questions. So you don't have to read the whole chapter, you can just read the summary. No, read the whole chapter. But it is fabulous. It's a really good book. And once you start reading the Bible, you will get addicted. Believe me, you'll get addicted. Let's pray. I'm going to stop. Lord God, I do thank you for your word. I thank you most of all for Jesus. Being the word, your message to humanity. But thank you, Lord, that you created a community which produced a book that was able to talk about the life of that community. Help us to get into your word. Help us to enjoy it. Help us to study it. Help us to be serious about it. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through his Spirit. Amen.